For our scripture this afternoon, we invite your attention to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. We'd like to read for your hearing verses 13 to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse number 13. Revelation, the 7th chapter, 13th verse. These words are recorded. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall never hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living foundations of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. We read for your hearing from Revelation, the 7th chapter, 13 down through and including verse number 17. May the Lord continue to bless us through his word. For a subject this afternoon, we would like to use trouble don't last always. Amen. Trouble don't last always. In the New Testament, a martyr is one who in life bore witness to their faith in Christ and was celebrated once they died. In early Christian history, martyrs were those who lost their lives during imperial persecutions because of their devotion to Jesus the Christ. This text testifies to what so many of our foreparents already knew. In spite of the goodbyes here, on the other side, all martyrs for the faith will receive a triumphant welcome because they have overcome the world. Though there was, is, and always will be cause for celebration for the accomplishments and achievements that people of color have made in America, the over 400-year sojourn in America has been overwhelmingly painful. Slavery characterized by dehumanization and economic exploitation, as well as decades of segregation and legalized oppression, has left the communities of people of color permanently scarred. In the midst of this painful history, countless lives have been lost, especially the lives of many of our brothers and sisters, many whose blood have paved the way for our advancements. Those who are martyrs have been whipped, gagged, hunted with dogs, lynched, harassed, beaten, miseducated, and incarcerated during the Great tribulation. And in even my lifetime, I've spent my formative years in the slums of Pittsburgh, and I've seen my friends from those neighborhoods either arrested or dead, some before the age of 30. Being a black male in America from the 1600s to the present has included far too much familiarity with trouble, or in the words of this text, the Great Tribulation. You see, the book of Revelation represents the culmination and consummation of God's redemptive work in the world through the work of Jesus the Christ. This book was written sometime between 92 and 96 CE by John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos during the reign of the Emperor Domitian. And interestingly, the book combines apocalyptic literature with ecclesiology and prophetic segments woven throughout this entire text. And as an apocalyptic text, it represents a category which employs symbols and numbers and figurative language. It's in order to conceal its message to its enemies, as well as to authentically reveal the truth of God's victory over oppression and all forms of evil. Theologically, the book of Revelation addresses human suffering in the world, the mystery of divine providence, judgment of evil and victory. In other words, this text speaks a word about tribulation or trouble in the world. You see, in our text, the heavenly scene described in Revelation is a dramatic and powerful depiction of the central truth of the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. A great multitude stands before John as a witness that trouble doesn't last always. In Revelation 7 and 9, John sees a multitude, as the Bible said, that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And as a result, he asked two questions. Who are these people, and where do they come from? Well, this passage also contains images of victory, victory of coming out of tribulation, having one's robe washed in the blood of the Lamb, and a multitude before the throne of God, serving him continuously. And in addition, there are heavenly images that tells us that the righteous will abide under the tabernacle of God, and they will experience the Lamb of God as their shepherd. The aspects of apocalyptic literature reflect and vibrate with the black experience. Like John on the island of Patmos, we know what it's like to experience exile and imperial oppression. Africans of the diaspora have faced unjust political, social, and even religious power over the course of our over 400-year sojourn in America. Our Revelation's message of facing darkness is with hope because of the end-time realities. That's meaningful in the black religious tradition. In my formative years, we used to sing a song in church that said, "I'm so glad that trouble don't last always." The song seems to strike at the heart of the message of the book of Revelation. Trouble in this world happens, just as Jesus said it would. In fact, in all of John's literature, tribulation or overcoming tribulation in the world is often mentioned. And in this tradition, we should know that faith in Christ is not an exemption from adversity. However, the book of Revelation reinforces the message of that song that trouble does not have the final word, because Jesus has overcome the world. Revelation serves as a fitting conclusion to the New Testament because it makes clear that trouble does have an ending date. When we commemorate our heroes whose lives were lost for the faith, it is good to know that among the multitude stand a host of our ancestors who now don robes of glory. Brother preacher, who are these people? Who are these martyrs? They are the thousands upon thousands of captured African brothers and sisters who have died in the mid-Atlantic, the slaves who were mercilessly killed at the hands of brutal slave masters, thousands killed during the Jim Crow years, thousands who have died and continue to die because of the vicious cycles of poverty and violence that eat at our inner cities and our rural towns. We can't forget that these are those who have called on the name of Jesus, who is both the Lamb of God and King of the heavenly host. John saw them standing before the Lord on that glorious day, a number that no man can number. Well, in the world, many of them were called nobodies. History does not even remember nor record many of their names, but they are somebody in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the Almighty. They are children of the Most High God. And in this text, they are clothed in robes of victory. Where did they come from? That's significant in this text. This multitude is unique because they come out of the Great Tribulation. Now, it is interesting. It's a fact that both the church of the first century and we ourselves, people of color, have faced imperial persecution. We've faced oppression. What is even more significant about this connection is that we know that the early church was not crushed under the weight of unjust and abusive political power. The witness of the first century church serves as a source of encouragement to us whenever we face tribulation. The instruments of hell, economic oppression, unequal justice, and spiritual wickedness in high places, know that it will not prevail. Revelation 7:14, it describes the multitude in words that should produce a celebrative response. The elder says, these are the ones who came out. Now notice, came out of great tribulation. They weren't still there. They made it through. Trouble did not last always for them. A central part of the mystery and the genius of black spirituality is the ability to use celebration in a way that imparts strength for the journey ahead. Black spirituality does not celebrate the fact that there is injustice in the world. Instead, we accept the fact that the great tribulation will be faced by the faithful and boldly assets that one is neither defined by tribulation nor confined to tribulation. God's people go through and come out of tribulation. Why? Because trouble doesn't last always. The great multitude overcame because they not only persevered in the face of persecution and oppression, they believed in God's Son, Jesus the Christ. The efficiency and the necessity of the shed blood of Jesus is a truth that must remain central in our minds. We should always be reminded that coming out of tribulation is only possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that hill called Calvary. It's only possible because he hung there, suffered, and died. Only possible because he allowed them to nail him to that cross. And as he hung there and the breath came out of his body and he permitted them to take him down and place him in a borrowed tomb. You see, I said trouble doesn't last always. Some thought that the end had come, that it was all over, because this man, Jesus, was now inside of a rock, and a rock was covering the hole in the rock. But who could ever believe that a rock could stop the channel, the rock of Jesus Christ, one who's able to do all things. For early one Sunday morning, my Jesus and your Jesus, the rock of my salvation, got up with all power in his hand and gave each of us a right to the tree of life once again. When trouble raises his or her ugly head, I don't worry about it, because trouble don't last always. When tribulation jumps up and wants to try to do something, don't worry about it, because the trouble that we see won't last always. And because it doesn't last always, it's only because of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, who made a way. And what we thought was no way, he gave us the way. I thank God that when things don't seem to go my way, I smile, because I know that we're coming out of that great tribulation. And as Grandma used to say, on that great getting up morning, amen, everything's going to be all right. That's only if you've accepted his Son as Savior in your life. Trouble, but don't laugh. Always. May God bless you. Thank you. You can ask that you stand. In today's environment, when the atmosphere appears to be so far from Christ, one must understand that these are perilous times. We do understand that a lot's going on we don't agree with. But at the same time, we must understand that those who know God's Son as Savior don't have to worry, because just as I said, the trouble that we see, even that trouble, won't last always. But there are some who are here today. Even though you may survive what's going on in this present administration, you have to get beyond that and ask yourself that if Christ comes back at this very moment, would you be caught up to greet him in the air? Now that's a question only you can answer. Not mom, not dad, not grandma, not grandpa, not your best bud. Nobody but you can answer that. Ask yourself, have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? And if you've done just that, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Or maybe you didn't go that far. Maybe you just called upon the name of Jesus to save you. The Bible says that then too you shall be saved. So it is not hard to be saved. You just have to have a desire. The Holy Spirit tugs on the strings of your heart. And when it tugs, it's beckoning you to come to God's Son, Jesus the Christ. This is an invitation to Christian discipleship, to those who've allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the very depths of your heart. You've yielded. You've received him as Savior, and now you would like to publicly proclaim it by just stepping out in any aisle and coming forward and giving your hands to the officers who stand here before you, and they'll explain the salvation message to you. So if you're here, this is your opportunity to come forward. Give your hands to the officers who stand here before you. They will talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're one who you've been praying, you're already saved, you know the Lord, but you've asked him to guide you to a place where he would have you to fellowship, a place where there's Bible teaching, and there's a place where you can be with those baptized believers. And he's led you to Shiloh. We'd like to have you to come also be a part of this Christian family. You may come unite with us either on your Christian experience or by letter. This is your opportunity to come now also. So if you're here, if you wish to come, you can come down any aisle also. Talk to our officers who stand here before you. Is there one? Is there one? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Amen. It's prayer time in Shiloh. Those of you who know the worth and the work of prayer, you have a desire for prayer and you desire to pray for somebody, we ask you to come to the altar at this time for our altar call experience. Will you come?
The Lord.
Amen.
For his shared word. Mm-hmm. Trouble don't last always.
We bless you.
Truly, we serve a mighty God. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer, I ask that you continue to keep our sick and our shut in before the Lord. Sister Cleo Lewis, Deacon Romney Burge, and Sister Glenda Burge. Minister James Green and Minister Lauren Rainey, I'm sorry. Minister Jean Monet's mother and Minister Don Monet's mother. Let us continue to keep our dear sister Deacon Lazelia Richardson in our prayers, because we know God is able.
Amen.
God can do just what he said he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And he has never, never failed us.
Amen.
No matter how dim things may look, God is a good God.
Well,
let us continue to keep our bereavement families in our prayers. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Let us look to the Lord. Our Father.
Yes, Lord.
And our God. Mm-hmm. It is in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we come before you at this hour of prayer. Thanking you, O God, for who you are. You said, I am that I am.
Well,
I am the great and the mighty God.
Hallelujah.
I am the creator of all mankind.
Yes, Lord.
And it's in you, O God, we look to each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
For you are great and faithful and you are just.
Yes.
You are our hope. You are our all in all.
Mm-hmm.
For it's in you, O God, we live and we move and we have our beings. And for this, O God, we say thank you. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and just for loving us in spite of, oh God,
mm-hmm.
you remain the same.
Yes.
For you change not, and I thank you.
Hallelujah.
What can wash away my sins?
Well,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What can make me whole again?
Mm.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And for this, oh God, we say thank you. For you've been mighty good to us, oh God.
Well,
down through the years, oh God, when we have turned our back and when we have lost the faith, oh God, when we have fallen short, you never left us, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you would never leave us or forsake us.
Well,
and we take you at your promise, Father.
Thank you, Father.
So we thank you. We thank you, oh God, for saving us.
Mm-hmm.
When we were lost, oh God, you saved us out of a world of sin and shame, oh God. And we're not ashamed of the gospel until salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to your name, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for just waking us up this morning with a spirit of praise in our heart and
hallelujah.
Joy, oh God, unspeakable joy.
Hallelujah.
Because somebody didn't get up this morning.
Yes.
Somebody wanted to turn over and they could not.
Yes.
Somebody wanted to speak, but they could not.
Mercy.
But you find favor upon us, oh God. And we praise you with our whole heart. Oh, we bless your name today.
Hallelujah.
We thank you
mm-hmm.
for strength and health and just keeping us in our right minds, oh God. Because so much is going on in the world today. But yet, oh God, you continue to push us on and to stir us in the right direction. That we continue to walk upright before you. Oh God, we bless you today.
Well,
we love you. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit today, oh God.
Lord,
oh, to you, oh God, be the glory and the honor.
Well,
we thank you, Father God. And we lift up these individuals to you today, Father God.
Do,
oh, Father God, some may stand in the need of one thing and some may stand in the need of another. But whatever the circumstances, oh God, we pray right now that you will meet them at their needs, oh God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Show yourself mighty and strong in their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we ask a special blessing upon Sister Lazaria today, oh God. Oh, surround her and saturate our heart with your love today, oh God. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. And, oh, God, let her know, oh, God, how great a God you are.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for great and mighty things you've already done. And we stand touching and agreeing that you will see her through, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over her life today. Oh, glory to your name, oh, God. Now, God, I ask that you look down upon this branch of Zion.
Yes, Lord.
As we stand before you, oh, God. Oh, God, meet your people's needs. Continue to keep a roof over their head and food on their tables. And if they stand in the need of a financial blessing, oh, God, see them through, oh, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for families and those who may have gone astray, oh, God, that you will bring them back into the fold.
Please, Lord.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Father God, I pray right now for those, Heavenly Father, that finds themselves incarcerated. Family members, oh, God. Father God, we pray wherever they may be at throughout these United States that you will be with them, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, we thank you.
We thank you for all that you continuously to do. Be with little Mike, oh God. Oh, Father God, be with Mike Jr. in the name of Jesus. As you were with Mike, oh God. We seen him when he was a baby, oh God. And the things that you've done in his life. Oh, God, we give you the glory. Hallelujah. Now this young fellow, oh God, needs you, Father God. Oh, we plead the blood of Jesus over his life. Strengthen his body, oh God. We come against those seizures in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, we thank you for all that you are doing in his life, and great and mighty things are yet to come. For we take nothing for granted. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now that you continue to be with this family. Be with this branch of Zion, our ministries, our leaders, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we continue to grow in the admonition of the Lord, to do great and mighty things here, oh God, that you will get the glory. Oh God, use us, oh God, day by day, as we share with one another of your goodness. Father God, we just ask right now that you continue to lead, God, and direct us throughout this coming week. We know that there's a storm going on in the south. We know, oh God, devastation will come upon us. Oh Father God, we know that you are omnipotent and you are faithful and you are able to hold back, oh God. So Father God, we pray that you would continue to be with those in the south, those in the east and the west and the north. Keep us in the palms of your hand. And if those that may have lost anything, oh God, we pray that you restore back unto them in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Father God. We give you the glory and the honor. And we ask, oh God, a special blessing upon this country. Our leaders, oh God, from the president down to the lowest entity of this government, Father God, that you will bring about peace, oh God, like never before. Strengthen us, oh God, and let us know that we have nothing to worry about because you have everything in your hands that we stand in the need of. In the name of Jesus, we claim the victory today. Hallelujah. Father God,
thank you.
Let us do all to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Praise God. And at this time I will say the grace over the repast. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the repast in the precious name of your son, Jesus, in honor of Sister Barbara Weston. We praise and thank you for all that has been done, all that we will receive for the nourishments of our bodies. We thank you for friends and families and loved ones. Father God, this is her time to shine. We pray that your anointing be upon her from this day forth and forevermore. We bless you, we honor you, in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord our God bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord turn his face toward thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God.